Friends, we have been talking about the existence or the non-existence of rabies, and I want to let you know that the reason why I'm pronouncing it that way has to do with a very unusual story that I shared in part one of my series. I'll leave that for you to discover. And I was just tickled when I saw a lot of my healthy Americans now refer to it as rabies as well. And in my mind, it sort of diminishes the power that the actual word has over us. You know, and I know that one of the most powerful tools that the enemy has against us is fear. And probably most people, even children, adults, many people are afraid of getting rabies from a bat, a raccoon, a fox, because we are told again and again and again that these are the animals that carry this disease. And we are also told that dogs and cats and horses and pigs and chickens and all sorts of animals can carry this disease and give it to us through a bite or a scratch. And therefore, we are told that these animals need to have the cocktail against rabies, not just once, you know, it works so well. Ideally, your animal has to get it at their very first dose, all right, if they're a young animal at 3 months of age. And then they need to have it a year later, and then every 3 years thereafter. In my previous videos, I noted some of your comments, including, wouldn't it be horrible if some unscrupulous vets actually knew that there were side effects from these cocktails and that they pushed them, so then they would have a patient for life? I'm not lumping all of the vets into one basket, but I am sharing with the audience here what many of you have shared with me, and I want to share more of your comments. Let me re-emphasize my disclaimer. I'm not a veterinarian. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a microbiologist. I'm a human being who has compassion and love for animals, and I do not want them to be needlessly imposed upon with these medical interventions that in most cases, in my view, are unnecessary. Not only are they unnecessary, they actually are harmful. How do I know? Because I shared that information with you yesterday in terms of the side effects from the rabies cocktail that, surprise, surprise, mimics the symptoms of the actual disease. And I put that in quotes because although, of course, there is illness, there is disease, I am not convinced. And I'm sure you are not convinced if you have done any even surface digging that the idea of the V word, these invisible non-life forms that somehow hijack our own cells and procreate with our own cells, then take over your cells and become some kind of disease. Yeah, that's never been proven ever. All right. It's a theory and a weak theory at that. Having said that, I am not giving medical advice. I'm not recommending anything. I'm sharing ideas and I'm asking questions because questions are more important, in my view, than the answers. One of my lovely healthy Americans said, questions that can't be answered are superior to answers that can't be questioned. I question everything. And I certainly am going to question the need to have my senior teddy bear, and I showed you pictures of her earlier, injected with an unwanted, unnecessary, potentially harmful substance. To what end? She's not out cavorting with rats and raccoons and bats and foxes and other dogs. I am a responsible companion to my companion animal, and I do not allow that. So the idea that it is one size fits all also bothers me and a lot of you. You so rightly mentioned that the same dose of this rabies cocktail is given to a 3-pound chihuahua, and it's the same dose for a 90-pound Rottweiler. How does that make sense? I can't even give my dog, the vet will not even give my lovely Teddy any pain medication, or will not give my cat any medication for urinary tract infections or anything, unless they have done a complete blood panel to check their liver function and then other tests for their kidney function and everything else. Why? To make sure that they can tolerate the dose that they are, or to determine the dose. Now, I'm not saying my animals are on any medication. I'm using this as an example to illustrate that it is not one size fits all when it comes to other medications, not only for animals, but for humans, right? They won't give you, again, I'm not saying you should be on any medication, but they will test your all of your blood panels and everything to make sure that you can tolerate this medication. Yet they're just going to inject people willy-nilly with the same dose and animals with the same dose. That right there doesn't make sense to me. That right there is why I'm going to reject it. Not to mention all of the side effects that you, my lovely healthy Americans, have written to me about in droves, and my heart breaks with you. Please watch video 2, where I talk about the human-animal bond and I recommend ways to get through your grief and to integrate that in your life, because it's so agonizingly painful. And I know that from firsthand experience. So what I want to talk about in this video is, what about humans? What about humans now that have gotten a bite or a scratch from a dog, a cat, a raccoon, a bat, what have you? And then you are told that you have to undergo this series of rabies vaccines. Many of my lovely healthy Americans also emailed me over at support@thehealthyamerican.org. And many of you told me that either you or someone you know had to undergo the series of extremely painful shots for humans. I'm going to look at what those side effects are for the human shots. But the first thing I want to do is give you some more data. All right, I did some digging and I'm going to bring you over to a couple of websites. And the first thing I want to say, because again, many of you emailed me, I'm talking about the existence or the non-existence of rabies in our companion animals, those that share our home and life with us. It's highly unlikely that anyone has a pet bat. Maybe you do. I think they're cute little creatures. They look like little flying puppies to me. But of course, our society has demonized these bats. And of course, we're always being told that these mystery diseases are found in bats, and then they were transferred to humans and so on and so forth. So what these poor bats are getting the brunt of our societal disdain, and I, for one, wholeheartedly reject it. Why would you be afraid of bats? They're just like flying puppies. That's the way I look at them. So the fact is, even if this mystery disease existed, and possibly it does, I don't believe in these, as I've said it before, and I'll say it a million times again, in these non-existent, invisible enemies that it starts with the letter V, and they are supposed to create disease. It's never been proven. But let's say there is some kind of disease. Maybe it comes from a bacteria. Maybe there is an insect that is carrying some kind of disease, and the insect bites the bat. And maybe the bat is experiencing encephalitis, which I'm going to show you has the same symptoms as rabies. And I'm going to share a couple of other things with you as well, but let's just say that there is some type of disease that kills bats and raccoons and foxes and rats and mice and pigs and goats and sheep and so forth. And they're calling it rabies. And they're saying that it comes from this invisible non-life form that suddenly replicates with life and procreates. None of that makes sense to me, but perhaps there is a disease that exists. It doesn't exist in our companion family animal members. And that was the point of my previous videos. Some of you, not you, my lovely healthy Americans, but all y'all out there didn't get it. You know, you're emailing me saying, oh yes, it exists in foxes and bats. Do you have a pet fox at home? My point is that I was talking about these unnecessary cocktails for your companion animals. And I gave you several ways to sidestep that. So that's all in video 1 and that's all in video 2. Even if this mystery disease existed in our companion animals, the data that I have here says that there's only 1 or 2 cases a year. 1 or 2 cases a year. And you are going to, by you, I mean the states, the cities, the governments, the animal control, what have you, they are going to insist on every single companion animal getting this injection. That would be like you and me having to get injected for polio or smallpox. Hang on to your hats, friends. That's probably going to recycle its way back around in our lifetime. Why in the world would your animals have to get this cocktail for something that basically either doesn't exist or has been eradicated? That doesn't make any sense at all. And I don't even think that the veterinarians are thinking about that. They are worried about losing their license. They are getting the letters from the state licensing agencies telling them to, I hope everybody can hear me. I never checked my sound. Yes, you can hear me. getting this information from their state licensing agencies telling them that they're going to lose their license if they don't push these cocktails. You have told me, and I have experienced this rabid push. Yes, you see what I did there, for this acceleration of making sure that every animal has this cocktail. I've had my animals for years and the vets never pushed it until about a year ago. And I wanted to get Teddy her pedicure to get her nails trimmed. And they said, well, we can't see your animal unless she's got her rabies certificate. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You've been seeing my dog for all these years. What has changed? Well, we have to be extra careful, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So there's always another way. I'm going to help you find it. I talk about that in the previous videos. Let me bring up my notes here because I've got a couple of other websites, a couple of websites that I want to bring to you. So let's do this. In fact, I'm just going to share my screen. We are going over to our favorite alphabet letter agency, the cat, dog, cat, as my friend Brian from High Impact Videos calls it. What are the signs and symptoms of rabies? Okay, so it says that there is a long incubation period. It may last 4 weeks to months, and it's based on the location of the exposure site, how far away it is from the brain, because the theory is that this is going to be affecting your nervous system, which basically the brain is the master of the nervous system, if you have any immunity or the type of rabies virus. And here we go. The first symptoms may be similar to the flu. Everything seems to be similar to the flu, right? Just like everything with AIDS is similar to other immune deficiency disorders. All right, including weakness or discomfort, fever or headache. There may also be discomfort, prickling, or itching sensation at the site of the bite. That totally makes sense. Your body is trying to fight off what possibly may be a bacterial infection. Bacteria exist. You can see them under a microscope. You can't see the unseeable, non-existent, invisible enemy that they're telling us exists. But bacteria actually is alive, all right? It's a life form. Check this out. Symptoms then progress to cerebral dysfunction, anxiety, confusion, and agitation. As the disease progresses, the person may experience delirium, abnormal behavior, hallucinations, hydrophobia, which is fear of water, and insomnia. Just out of curiosity, because one of my healthy Americans tipped me off, I love hearing from you. She said, it's very much like encephalitis. Now, this is interesting because it says the V word, but there's also bacterial meningitis, which is an inflammation of the brain, of the lining of the brain. You may have mild flu-like symptoms, including headache, stiff neck, fever, aches in muscles or joints, fatigue or weakness. Gee, what a coinkydink. Almost exactly the same as rabies. Then also the confusion, agitation, or hallucinations. In case you forgot, confusion, anxiety, and agitation. Is it the same writer? Is it the same editor editing this website here? Friends, I hope you can see through this. All right. Loss of consciousness, and it goes on and on and on. Just saying. Also, people have said, well, I saw a rabid dog when I was a child and they were foaming at the mouth and they were disoriented and confused and vomiting and fearful and agitated. Those are the same symptoms as poisoning. And there are also other things that could be happening to your animal in terms of a bacterial infection, which is, you can see the bacteria. So my issue is with this non-existent non-life form that we are told exists and hijacks your cells and replicates and then becomes a disease. There's no evidence for that whatsoever. I want to go on with some of my information that I have here for you. This is really, really troubling to me. Okay. We are going over to New York, the state of New York, which says, in fact, let me cue this up for you here. It says, it's just absolutely stunning. Okay. I'm going to bring you right on over to this program. It says that they do 7,000 tests on animals that they kill. Okay. This is in the state of New York at their Wadsworth program to eradicate rabies. 7,000, and it's dogs. and bats and foxes and rats. And they do these tests on them to see if they have rabies. I'm going to give you a warning now because you may not want to listen to the next part of this video. Just giving you fair warning because it's very disturbing. All right, you got your warning. We're moving ahead and I'm going to show you what I'm going to show you. So here we go. This is the Wadsworth Department, New York State Department of Health Wadsworth Center. And this is their rabies laboratory where they do animal specimen testing, human serology testing, testing your blood to see if you have it, anti, meaning before, and post-mortem, before and after death testing. Okay. And I found, I don't know if I have that up for you, but I did find that they do 7,000 a year, which means 7,000 animals are destroyed. Here we are. Do not submit live animals. The animals should be humanely euthanized. Well, should be. I hope they are if they are going to be killed at all without damage to the head. The head must then be removed from the body and submitted intact for examination, except in the case of bats where the entire animal should be submitted. Livestock, all right? It's absolutely despicable what, it's just heinous, especially when, let me see if I can find this for you. I know I have it here on one of my links. I'm looking through all my links here. It says that, well, I will find it and leave a link for you. The prevalence of rabies in a human being that actually would be bitten or scratched is 1 to 2 cases per year. So these animals are going to be exposed to this inhumane cruelty, or all cruelty is inhumane, this unspeakable cruelty. And who knows if these 1 to 2 rabies cases are even that, because they have the same symptoms, not only as encephalitis, but I also looked up meningitis, and meningitis is bacteria that enters the bloodstream and travels to the brain and the spinal cord. And this is when bacterial meningitis can occur, when bacteria also directly invades the meninges, which is the covering, the lining of the brain. And again, you can have that swelling of the brain, and it can clear up on its own. There are different kinds of meningitis, but couldn't it be possible? I ask you, couldn't it be possible that these couple of cases per year, it could be encephalitis, it could be from an insect bite. Maybe the animals themselves are getting bitten by some kind of insect that then causes these symptoms rather than putting it in the bucket of rabies. These are possibilities, you must admit. Okay, the other thing I want to show you here, we are going to go to the fact sheet from New York, the state of New York. And this is the other thing that bothers me, how they're just promoting this fear of animals. Okay, here we go. Share my screen. And it says, what can people do to protect themselves? Again, this is New York State Department of Health, to protect themselves against rabies. Don't feed, touch, or adopt wild animals, stray dogs, or cats. How do you like them apples? Them are pretty rotten apples. Oh, don't feed a stray dog or a stray cat. Okay, all of my animals came as strays, all right? I found Teddy on the side of the road. She was a tiny little puppy. I have a picture of her in the first video. She was dirty, starving, almost going. I thought it was an injured rabbit. All right, my Elsie and Itty Bitty, I picked up in New Orleans when I was doing animal rescue in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. All of my animals have been rescued or strays, and they are absolutely perfectly fine. So I wouldn't allow probably a young child to go up to a stray dog or something, but as adults, we have that discernment. So these kinds of things trouble me as well. Just always pushing that the animals are something to be feared. Here's another one from our friends over at the Cat Dog Cat Agency. How can you tell if an animal has rabies? You can't tell if an animal has rabies just by looking at it. Okay? Okay. The only way to know for sure if an animal or a person has rabies is to perform laboratory testing. However, animals with rabies may act strangely. Some may be aggressive, try to bite you. Well, those that are aggressive and may try to bite you may be just afraid, or maybe they're protecting their owner. They may drool more than normal. And then the other thing, we found out that the actual rabies cocktail itself causes this type of behavior, can cause this type of behavior. So it's absolutely despicable. Let me see a couple of my links that I have here. Okay, here is another one from an educational cocktails education center. And it says that now for humans, all right, here we go. We are talking now about humans who have been bitten or scratched, and if they should have their own rabies vaccine. Back in the day, it used to be 30 shots. Yes, 30 shots, a shot a day. A shot a day keeps the rabies away. And now, miraculously, it is a series of three. Let's take a look at the side effects, shall we? I'm going to share my screen again. And here we go. Does the rabies vaccine work? This is for humans. It works remarkably well. Studies indicate if the cocktail is given immediately and appropriately to someone who is bitten by an animal, it is 100% effective. There's no way of knowing that, friends. I talked about that in my video number two. Here are the side effects for humans: a sore arm, a headache, nausea, and vomiting. The severe side effect of anaphylaxis, which means your body is going into shock, trying to push back against the poison that in the cocktail. This severe allergic reaction includes such symptoms as swelling of the mouth, difficulty breathing, low blood pressure, or shock. It usually occurs, it's not funny, within 15 minutes after receiving the cocktail. Therefore, it is a good idea to wait in the doctor's office for a little while. Well, I thought they were safe and effective. Which is it? Okay, so relative risks and benefits. They work extremely well. We also talked about this severe reaction. No one has ever died. Oh, really? I would like to know the actual data on that. So there again, we've got the very same symptoms are those for encephalitis. And encephalitis can come from a bite from an infected insect. I will leave these links for you. This is the fact sheet that I showed you earlier. This is what the rabies artists have created. This is an artist rendering. These are all, well, what is it? Is it purple or is it green or is it aqua? Which is it? I do not like this image. It is not very suitable for me to look at. I do not like, I just don't care for what they think this looks like. Yeah, what do you think? I should have given a warning to the parents. Who came up with this image? Yeah, right. What is this, corn on the cob? What is this? Oh, here's another one. Cartoon model of the rabies non-existence. Here we go. Cartoons, orange. Gee, this is the same color as the dress I'm wearing. The 3D model, corn on the cob, and that is just very not good for anyone to look at. Please get the eye bleach. I want to unsee what I just saw. All right, friends, this is really, we could go on and on and on about this, but I think that we really have. And what I want to do is finish off by sharing some of your comments here. And I really thank all of you who have emailed me. All right, there were lots of good comments here. Lovely Judy Ann emailed and said, great podcast, Peggy. After having a horrible experience from a local vet who concocted a seizure-producing cocktail that lasted for years and caused irreparable pain and suffering for my little doggy and for my husband and myself, we are going to sidestep the for-profit model as much as possible. And here she mentioned, if you haven't heard of Dr. Rob, who has been a steadfast and local proponent of getting rid of unwellness in these vet practices, here's a link to his website. It appears to me that for almost 150 years, you know, we in our society have been naive and trusting participants in a big in all the hogwash to create lifelong customers within all areas of so-called healthcare, the time has come to drain this industry. I'll share that website with you as well for Dr. Rob. That was the vet that I was trying to remember the name of. And there's also Dr. Becker is someone that you may want to follow as well. All right, here we go. Anne says, well done. Absolutely blooming marvelous. I've been wanting this information about rabies to come out for years. A million thank yous from all of our pooches and me, and probably millions of other animal lovers who want this abhorrent practice stopped. It enriches those who are pushing it. No cocktails in my dogs ever, she says. I also hate the chip that they put in when the pups are so tiny. I'm sure it makes them twitch sometimes. And you know, that's another thing I mentioned in a previous video. Think about it. They've conditioned us to get our lovely animal family members microchipped. Why not get granny and grandpa microchipped in case they wander out of the house and you don't want them to be lost, right? There's all these sad stories of the wandering, elderly that can't remember where they are. Why not get them microchipped? That's probably what will come next. Also with the neutering and spaying that I spoke about in the previous video, and I've spoken about that in previous videos aside from that, and how that's not the only method to not have, you know, litters of puppies and kittens. There are other methods as well, but neutering the animals, microchipping the animals. Well, why not your children? Why not granny and grandpa? Just asking. Let me continue with a couple more amazing comments. So Patty sent in the one titersforpets.org. And Rachel says, my beloved 12-pound dog was given the same dose of human medication for a 180-pound human, which literally fried his brain on the spot. It's just so sickening and disgusting. She said, right now her dogs are healthy and fine without the vets. She said she believes they are on par with those other white coats that are pushing other cocktails. I have to be a little careful with my language so this video doesn't get a strike. And yes, Dr. Rob, we had Chris also sent in Dr. Rob's website. It's called protectthepets.com. There's a short video of him before the Connecticut state legislature pleading to stop the over injecting for rabies. And he said, watch the people. They're just completely bored as they're listening. It's so sad. He is being sued. Dr. Rob is being sued for $2 million by PetSmart for speaking out about this and lousy pet food. He's a great vet. When I lived in Connecticut, I used to go to him. He's an amazing guy. Also, Dr. Marty Goldstein is a natural vet in New York, who I also went to. And he told me that he would titer a dog for rabies if they have to go overseas. He did it for one dog and the dog had 5,000 times the antibodies needed from the shots, 5,000 more than necessary. I used to get my food from Dr. Marty. So that is another one. Again, I'm just sharing what you're sharing with me. I'm not giving any medical advice whatsoever. And here's another one. Lexi says, I was reviewing your rabies videos. I'm studying homeopathy and I'm having an issue finding a groomer for my animal as well. My holistic vet is supportive of using no-sodes. And she said, here's a book with an immunization record. Oh, there goes my teddy bear. It's time for her outing here. I will leave the links for these. In fact, let me show you this one, friends, before I sign off. As I promised, this is titersforpets.org. And what they do is they check to see if your animal has antibodies for rabies. And this also protectthepets.com is Dr. Rob. And that is a website that I highly recommend. It looks like they're similar websites, don't they? I don't know if they're related or not. Possibly they are. I have to do a little deeper digging. Sometimes I call it digger deeping. I like to mix up the words sometimes. So the bottom line is this, friends, there are ways to protect your pets. There are ways for you to be protected. And my point in bringing this video to you was to empower you, to educate you, to help you increase your knowledge. This is just the surface. I am not an expert in this by any means. What I am an expert in is asking questions and not accepting what has been told to us. And I think that is the most important message that I can leave you as well. The bigger question is question everything. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to get my animals injected with these unwanted and unnecessary interventions when basically this disease, even if it exists or not, has been eradicated. I don't understand it. And there's always another way, friends. I want to see if there's anything else on my notes that I want to share with you. I talked about the animal cruelty aspect where they're doing all of these experiments in the state of New York on thousands of animals annually just to see if they had rabies or not. What's the point? It's cruel and inhumane. The other thing I want to say is that the way that they test for rabies, two different ways, they do the PCR. And you know, and I know how that doesn't really work and how it can be amplified so much that probably my, my computer mouse would be shown to have rabies if they continued to test it as much as they did. And the main thing that I wanted to share with you is that the way that they even determine whether or not this exists, again, is on, I'll just call them computerized models. These are theories, never have been proven. Yes, disease, sickness, illness exist. We see it. We see the symptoms. We may have experienced it. I'm not talking about rabies, but other diseases, illnesses, and conditions. There's really very little known about how and why that happens. I did do a video called Why Are People Getting Sick? A couple of months ago. You may want to refer to that as well. All right, friends, I'm signing off for now. Give me a little bit to get all these links up in the video. Thank you for sharing the video. Please subscribe to my free Substack. Substack is a type of newsletter. It's a compendium of articles, and I have several of those. I send out about one or two researched articles with links and my written analysis. So that is something that's easy to share, easy to have if you don't want to rewatch the video. I've got one coming out all about rabies. So if you're interested in that with the links, with the information and some of my analysis, there's a link for you in the description box below where to go for my Substack. It's basically peggyhall.substack.com. It is 100% free. I want to thank all of you who actually did a paid subscription to thank me for my work. Everyone gets the same content. Those who have paid for a subscription, you're able to comment on the articles, but everyone gets the same articles. That's just my way of giving to you. And I'm so grateful for your support. I could not do this without your prayers and encouragement. All right, signing off for now, friends. I'll be back with you tomorrow. I think we'll move on to another topic. I've covered this now over a series of three videos. There's always more to cover and uncover. Keep digging, keep asking questions, keep learning, be empowered, be encouraged. There's always another way. And I'm going to help you find it. All right, friends, I'll see you soon in an upcoming video.